Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we begin the seventh episode of the 18th topic that we began some sessions ago. The 18th topic, as you would know, deals with the isnad of the seven canonical readings. We were discussing the reading ascribed to Hamza ibn Habib az-Zayyat, and in the previous session we had discussed some of his teachers, and prior to that we have discussed three other prominent or main people who figure in these seven canonical readings. They include Nafi ibn Abi Nu'aym and Abdullah ibn Kasir and Asim ibn Abi Nujud. So these are the three reciters we have already discussed, but in the current scenario we are discussing Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyat, and this is the second episode on Hamza. So I had described that there are primarily eight teachers who transmit this reading, or from whom Hamza transmits this reading. He has eight teachers who are described in the isnad-based content. And they include Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri, Humran ibn Aryun, Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamir, Mughira ibn Miksam, Al-Lays ibn Abi Sulaym, Sulaiman ibn Mihran al-Amash, Muhammad ibn Abdirrahman ibn Abi Layla, and Jafar ibn Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali. So these were the eight teachers that I had enumerated in my previous talk, that they have been reported through isnad-based content. Out of these eight, we had discussed narratives relating to four of them, and they include Humran ibn Aryum, Sulaiman ibn Mihran al-Armash, Muhammad ibn Abdirrahman ibn Abi Layla, and Jafar ibn Muhammad ibn Ali. So we had discussed narratives which cite the fact that these are the four people who are Hamza's teachers. Now we are going to discuss some remaining narratives in which, besides these teachers, they shall be discussed again in these narratives as well. But the remaining four teachers shall also be discussed in these coming up narratives. So these narratives that you're going to discuss today, they'll be the ones in which all these eight teachers, which actually are reported through isnad-based content, shall be put forth before you. So let me start off with a narrative in which Abu Ishaq al-Sabri, Humran ibn Aryun, Sulaiman ibn Mihran al-Armash, and Muhammad ibn Abdirrahman ibn Abi Layla. So these are the teachers who are once again discussed in the narrative that I'm just going to read out before you. And this narrative says that Hamza acquired his reading from these. So this narrative, viewers, is cited by Dani in his Jami al-Bayan fil Qiraat al-Sab al-Mashura. And it says, the isnad is slightly long isnad, and we have three tahwils, and ultimately we come to know that in these three tahwils, the people who report from Hamza are Ubaidullah ibn Musa, Khalid ibn Yazid, and Al-Husayn ibn Atiyah al-Bazzar. So I'm going to read out the isnad from where these people actually say. So they say, Qalu, Jami'an, so all these three say, وَقَرَى حَمْزَ عَلَى حُمْرَانِ ابْنِ أَعْيُنِ وَعَلَى سُلَيْمَانِ الْعَامَشِ وَعَلَى أَبِي إِسْحَاقَ السَّبِيعِ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدِ ابْنِ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ ابْنِ أَبِي لَيْلَى. And this is how it ends. So it would, the translation of this narrative would be that Ubaidullah ibn Musa, Khalid ibn Yazid, and Husayn ibn Abi ibn Atiyah al-Bazzar said that Hamza read out the Quran to Humran ibn Aryun and Sulaiman al-Armash and Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri and Muhammad ibn Abdirrahman ibn Abi Layla. So these are the four teachers which this narrative outlines. And as you can see, three of them have already been discussed in the previous narratives, and the only addition here is Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri. Now the chain of narration or the schematic illustration of this narrative is being displayed before you. You can see that it has three sections, three subsections, all of which represent a tahwil. Now, as far as the first section of this narrative is concerned, the first subsection of the narrative, Ubaidullah ibn Musa ibn Abi al-Mukhtar, you can see that his name is being displayed and indicated by an arrow. He is not dependable. Now, the problem is that he is not dependable, even though he is a sheikh of Imam Bukhari. So Ubaidullah ibn Musa, although he is a sheikh of Imam Bukhari, but he is not dependable. Though besides others, authorities like Yahya ibn Ma'in, ibn Sa'ad, ibn Adi, and Abu Hatim have regarded him to be sikha, Ibn Hajar has recorded some jarah on him. And he says, when he was mentioned, or when Ubaidullah ibn Musa was mentioned before Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he remarked, فَرَأَيْتُهُ الْمُنْكَرُ وَكَانَ صَاحِبُ تَخْلِيطُ وحدث بأحاديث سوء. So Yaqub ibn Sufyan said that he is a Shiite, and if someone says that he is a Rafizi, he will not negate him, and that he is Munkar al-Hadith. Al-Juzjani says that he is Aghlata wa aswal Mazhaban, and narrates fantastic things the most. Abu Muslim al-Baghdadi says that he is among the abandoned, so his words are Min al-Matrukin. And Ahmad ibn Hanbal abandoned him because he was a Shiite. Yahya ibn Ma'in says, Laysa hadithuhu bil qawi. And Ahmad ibn Hanbal said that he has narrated Manakir, and that he, implying Ahmad, saw him in Mecca and ignored him, though he has heard hadith from him earlier in the year 185. So although he did hear from him earlier and heard the hadith, but later, when he saw him in Mecca, he ignored him. So I can I would posit the fact that the jar on him overrides the tawseek on him. So this is as far Ubaidullah ibn Musa is concerned. So viewers, if you can see the chart being displayed before you, and now let's move on to the second section, the second subsection. Now in this second subsection, no tawseek is available on Sahal ibn Muhammad al-Jallab. You can see that his name is being indicated by a red arrow. And since no tawseek is available on him, therefore I shall tend to regard him to be among the majhuleen or the unknown. Now about Khalid ibn Yazid al-Tabib, and his name is also being indicated by an arrow. Ibn Habban says, yukhti wa yukhalif, that he makes error and that other people actually contradict him. Ibn Hajar's opinion about him is, saduqun lahu awham. In the third one, we now move on to the third subsection. No tawseek is available on Muhammad ibn al-Husayn ibn Atiyah. As you can see that his name is being displayed before you. Even though Ibn Jazari mentions him as an entry. So he is mentioned by Ibn Jazari in his Ghayatul Nihaya, but he does not mention any tawseek on him. So therefore, he should also be consigned to the majhul category. Now in the opinion of Abu Hatim, al-Hasan ibn Atiyah ibn Najih is saduq. So he regards him to be a person who is saduq. So this is as far as this narrative is concerned, and I would say that this, the way it has been discussed, the jar overrides in all the sections, and therefore the teachers which this narrative depicts cannot be established on the basis of merely this information. Viewers, let's move on to the next narrative in this regard. And this narrative actually depicts Abu Ishaq al-Sabri, Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamir, Mughira ibn Miksum, and Lays ibn Abi Sulaim to be the teachers of Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyad. And this narrative, viewers, is also found in Dani's al-Bayan, Jami' al-Bayan fil Qiraat al-Sab'a al-Mashura. So the narrative reads, Qala Abu Dawud ibn Abi Tayba akhbarani Ali ibn Zazid and Sulaim and Hamza. Wa zakara li Ali ibn Zazid anna rijal Hamza al-Amash wa Mughira wa Mansur wa Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri wa Lays ibn Abi Sulaim. These are the people were mentioned. So the translation would read that Abu Dawud ibn Abi Taiba said that Ali ibn Yazid mentioned to me through Sulaim that the teachers of Hamza are Al-Amash, Mughira, Mansur, Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri, and Al-Lays ibn Abi Sulaim. So you can see the addition of more teachers here in this narrative. Now viewers, you can see the chart of this narrative being displayed before you, the schematic illustration. The problem in this schematic illustration or this chain of narration or this isnad is that there is no information available on Abu Hussein al-Ru'yani. As you can see that Abu Hussein al-Ru'ayni actually his name is. And you can see that his name is being indicated in the chart. And obviously he cannot be al-Hussein, al-Hasan ibn Abu al-Hasan Shurayh ibn Muhammad ibn Shurayh al-Ru'ayni, because he died in 539 Hijrah. So, therefore, it is clear that this person is someone about whom no information at all is available. Now, no tawseek is also available on Abu Dawud ibn Abi Taiba, as you can see that his name is also being indicated. So, no information about him is available. And hence, viewers, he has to be consigned to the category of Majhul. Now, it may be noted that both Zahabi and Ibn al-Jazari mention him as an entry. So in their respective books, Zahabi in his Ma'rifat al-Qudra al-Kibar and Ibn al-Jazari in his Ghayat al-Nihaya, they give biographical information about him, but they do not mention any sort of tawseek. Also, viewers, it may be noted that in all probability, in this chain of narration, the correct name is Dawud ibn Abi Taiba and not Abu Dawud ibn Abi Taiba. As you can see, the narrative actually says Abu Dawud, but it is actually Dawud ibn Abi Taiba. And why I say this? Because according to Ibn al-Jazri, it is Dawud ibn Abi Taiba who read out the Quran to Ali ibn Yazid. As you can see, that he is being indicated in the chart. Moreover, Abdul Rahman ibn Dawud narrates from his father, who is Dawud ibn Harun, and it is known that Abu Taiba is actually Harun. So this is a very clear indication of the fact that Dawud ibn Abi Taiba actually is Abu Dawud ibn Abi Taiba is actually Dawud ibn Abi Taiba. Viewers, similarly, no tawseek is available on Ali ibn Yazid ibn Kisa, as you can see that his name is also being indicated. So therefore, we shall regard him to be majhul as well. It may be noted that Ibn al-Jazri mentions him as an entry. So Ibn al-Jazri, in his Ghayat al-Nihaya, he does mention him as an entry. But on the other hand, Zahabi, in his Ma'rifat al-Qurra al-Kibar, does not even mention him as an entry. So therefore, since no tawseek is available on him, so we will consign him to the category of majhul. Similarly, viewers, no tawseek is available on Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Haysim al-Sha'rani. And you can see that his name is being indicated in the chart. And therefore, I shall consign him to the category of majhul. It will be noted that Ibn al-Jazri mentions him as an entry, like the previous case. But Zahabi, in his Ma'rifat al-Qurra al-Kibar, does not even mention an entry by his name. So Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Haysim al-Sha'rani is not mentioned by Zahabi in his Ma'rifat al-Qurra al-Kibar. And although Ibn al-Jazri does mention him, but again, this mention is devoid of any tawseek, and therefore we shall regard him to be majhul as well. Now, the suspect nature of Sulaim ibn Isa ibn Sulaim, as you can see that he is the person reporting this narrative, though therefore he too, since he has been discussed earlier on in my last episode, to be a person who is severely criticized by Rijal authority, so therefore we shall also take view of this and take note of this, that this is another weakness which can be assigned to this narrative. Now, since this narrative is not established, and I would say it is suspect, so therefore I would say that Abu Attab Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamir, Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, and Mughira ibn Miksam al-Zabbi, who are the teachers which are mentioned in this particular narrative. So therefore, since this narrative is very suspect, I would not go along by the information that it gives that these were the teachers of Hamza as well. So viewers, next move on to the next narrative which depicts Hamza's teacher, and he is actually Al-Amash. So Al-Amash is the person who is depicted as the teacher of Hamza in the narrative that I'm just going to read before you. And this has been recorded by Dani in his Jami al-Bayan. So the words are, قَرَأْتُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ أَحْمَدِ بْنِ عَلِي خَمْسًا فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ فَقُلْتُ زِدْنِي فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ قَرَأْتُ عَلَى عَلِي بْنِ أَحْمَدِ بْنِ بَزِي خَمْسًا فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ فَقُلْتُ زِدْنِي فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ قَرَأْتُ عَلَى بَزِي بْنِ عُبَيْد خَمْسًا فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ قَرَأْتُ عَلَى أَبِي أَيُّوب سُلَيْمَانَ الْحَمْزِي خَمْسًا فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ فَقُلْتُ زِدْنِي فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ قَرَأْتُ عَلَى سُلَيْمَ خَمْسًا فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ فَقُلْتُ زِدْنِي فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ قَرَأْتُ عَلَى حَمْزَة بْنِ حَبِيبَ الزَّيَّاتِ خَمْسًا فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ فَقُلْتُ زِدْنِي فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ قَرَأْتُ عَلَى الْعَامِشِ خَمْسًا فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ فَقُلْتُ زِدْنِي فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ قَرَأْتُ عَلَى يَحْيَى بْنِ وَسَّاب خَمْسًا فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ فَقُلْتُ زِدْنِي فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ قَرَأْتُ عَلَى أَبِي عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ السُّلَمِي خَمْسًا فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ فَقُلْتُ زِدْنِي فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ قَرَأْتُ عَلَى عَلِيِّ بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ خَمْسًا فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ فَقُلْتُ زِدْنِي فَقَالَ لِي حَسْبُكَ هَكَذَا أَنْزَلَهُ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَمْسًا خَمْسًا. So this had to be read in totality, in its entire text because of the fact that the way it reports these details. So Ad-Dani says, in the very initial words of this narrative, which I say, قَرَعْتُ عَلَى Muhammad ibn Ahmad, are actually spoken by the author himself, who is Abu Sayyid Ad-Dani. So Usman ibn Abi Sayyid Ad-Dani. So it says, Ad-Dani said, I read out five verses of the Quran to Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Ali. He said to me, this is enough for you. I said, teach me more. He said to me, this is enough for you. I read out the five verses to Ali ibn Ahmad ibn Bazi. He said to me, this is enough for you. I read out five verses to Abu Ayyub Suleiman al-Hamzi. He said to me, this is enough for you. I said, teach me more. He said to me, this is enough for you. I read out five verses to Sulaim ibn Isa. He said to me, this is enough for you. I said, teach me more. He said, this is enough for you. I read out five verses to Al-Amash. He said to me, this is enough for you. I said, teach me more. He said, this is enough for you. I read out five verses to Yahya ibn Wassab. And he said to me, this is enough for you. I said, teach me more. He said, this is enough for you. I read out five verses to Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami. He said to me, this is enough for you. I said, teach me more. He said, this is enough for you. I read out five verses to Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said to me, this is enough for you. I said, teach me more. He said to me, this is enough for you. This is how Gabriel revealed the Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, five verses at a time. Viewers, you can see that the chain of narration of this narrative is being displayed before you in the form of a chart. Al-Bayhaqi says that in the chain of narration of this narrative, there is an unknown person, and he says, "Fi isnadi man la yuraf." Zahabi says that it is wrongly attributed to Sulaim, and his words are, "Haza mawdhu'un ala Sulaim ibn Isa." It is wrongly attributed to Sulaim. And Zahabi has in fact named the unknown person who is pointed out by Al-Bayhaqi. He's actually named that person, and he is indicated as Bazir ibn Ubaid. So he is a person about whom we find there is no tawseek, and as Zahabi has said, that he is a person who is malla yuraf. He is not known, and hence this is something which clearly tells us that we cannot rely on this narrative. This was the narrative, actually, viewers, which was telling us that Amash is a teacher of Hamza. Now I'm going to read out a series of narratives before you, which actually tell us that that Hamza never read out to Amash, or Amash was not a teacher of Hamza the way it is described in the previous narratives. Now, let me read out these narratives before you. The first of them, viewers, is recorded by Ibn Mujahid in his Kitab al-Sabra. So, it says, قَالَ حَدَّثْنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ يَحْيَى الْأَزْدِي الْبَصْرِ قَالَ قُلْتُ لِيَبْنِ أَبِي دَاوُدْ قَرَأَ حَمْزَ عَلَى الْعَامَشْ قَالَ مِنْ أَيْنَ قَرَأَ عَلَى الْعَامَشْ إِنَّمَا سَعْلَهُ أَنْ هُرُوفٌ. So, Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Azdi said, I asked Ibn Dawud, did Hamza read out the Quran to Al-Amash? He replied, how could he have read out so? He only asked him about certain recitals. So he is negating the fact that he read out to Hamza. It is being said that he only asked him about the recitals of certain huruf. You can see its chain of narration is being displayed before you. This chain of narration does not have any flaw, and it is reported in a manner in which we can rely on it. It is a sound chain of narration. Now we move on to the next chain, or the next isnad. And this has been recorded by Mujahid in his Kitab al-Sabra as well. So it says, قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا حَجَّاج قَالَ قُلْتُ لِحَمْزَ قَرَعْتَ عَلَى الْعَامَشْ قَالَ لَا قَرَعْتَ عَلَى الْعَامَشْ قَالَ لَا وَلَكِنِّي سَأَلْتُهُ أَنْ هَذِهُ الْحُرُوفِ حَرْفًا حَرْفًا. So Hajjaj ibn Muhammad, Hajjaj actually is Hajjaj ibn Muhammad al-Masisi. So he said, I asked Hamza, did you read out the Quran to Al-Amash? He has pinpointedly asked this question to Hamza. And look what the reply is. He replied, no, I only asked him about such and such recitals one by one. So he is again asserting the fact that he did not read out the Quran to Hamza. He had only questioned him or asked his opinion about certain recitals. And viewers, this chain of narration is also being displayed before you. This chain again is a sound chain of narration, and therefore we have to rely on the information that it gives us. Let us now move on to the third narrative in this regard. And remember, we are reading narratives in which it is supposedly depicted that Amash is not a teacher of Hamza. Now, this third chain of narration, viewers, is recorded by Dani in his Jam al-Bayan, fi al-Qirat al-Sab' al-Mashura. So it says, حَدَّثْنَا سُلَيْمَنْ عِيسَى قَالَ وَسَّمِعَ حَمْزَى قِرَاتِ الْعَامَشِ وَلَمْ يَقْرَعْ عَلَيْهِمْ. So Sulaiman ibn Isa said, Hamza heard the reading of Al-Amash, but he did not read out to him. So although he heard the Qirat of Amash, but he did not read out to him. So this would obviously give some inclination to the fact that perhaps even if he did not read out to him, but since he heard the Qirat of Amash, so he could be regarded as a student of Amash. So the problem in this narrative, viewers, is the suspect nature of Sulaim ibn Isa ibn Sulaim. So this is something which we have already pointed out, that Sulaim ibn Isa is a person who is extremely unreliable, and therefore something which he reports in this matter cannot be relied upon. The fourth narrative, viewers, in this regard, this has been reported once again by Dani, besides others as well. So it says, قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا الْقَاسِمُ بْنُ سَلَّامُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي عِدَّةُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ دَخَلَ حَدِيثُ بَعْدِهِمْ فِي بَعْدِ أَنْ حَمْزَ الزَّيَّاتِ أَنَّهُ قَرَى عَلَى حُمْرَانِ ابْنِ أَعْيُنِ وَكَانَتْ هَذِهِ الْهُرُوفَ الَّتِي يَرْوِيَا حَمْزَ عَنِ الْأَعْمَشِ إِنَّمَا أَخَذَهَا عَنِ الْأَعْمَشِ أَخْزًا وَلَمْ يَبْلَغْنَا أَنَّهُ قَرَى عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ أَوَّلِهِ إِلَى آخِرِ إِلَى آخِرِ. So Al-Qasim ibn Sallam said, a number of scholars have narrated to me narratives from some were inserted into those of the into those of the others. So this is something obviously is a case of once again non-clarity of isnad. So from Hamza az-Zayyat that he read out to Humran ibn Ayun, and these recitals which Hamza has narrated from Al-Amash are the ones acquired from him. It is not in our information that he read out the whole Quran to him from the beginning to the end. So once again, we have a case here in which he might have heard something from Amash, but he did not actually read out the Quran to Amash. As you can see, that his chain of narration is being displayed before you. The isnad obviously has some unknown narrators. You would recall I had read that Qasim ibn Sallam had said, حَدَّثَنِي عِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. So a number of people from amongst these scholars have narrated to me, but he has not reported their names. And technically, when names are not reported, we cannot rely on such chain of narration. Now, the fifth narrative in this regard, viewers, this has also been reported by Ad-Dani in his Jami al-Bayan. It says, قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عُبَيْدُ اللَّهِ قَالَ كَانَ حَمْزَى يَسْأَلُ الْأَعْمَشْ عَنْ هُرُوفِ الْقُرْآنِ. So, Ubaidullah bin Musa said, Hamza would ask Al-Amash about recitals of the Qur'an. Now, the Jara on Ubaidullah bin Musa, who is also the Shaykh of Imam Bukhari, we have in the very first narrative that I presented before you in this very episode, we have read out the jar on or discussed the jar on Ubaidullah ibn Musa, and therefore he is a person who cannot be relied upon. Sixth narrative in this regard, viewers, this has also been reported by Ad-Dani in his Jami al-Bayan. It says, "Qala haddathna Yusuf ibn Musa, qala qila li Jarir ibn Abdul Hamid." كيف أخذتم هذه الحروف عن الأعمش؟ فقال إذ كان شهر رمضان جاء أبو حيان التميمي وحمزة الزيات ما كل واحد منهما مصحف فيمسكان الأعمش المصاحف ثم يقرأ فيسمعون قراءته فأخذنا الحروف من قراءته. So Yusuf ibn Musa said, Jarir ibn Abdul Hamid was asked, how did you acquire these recitals from Al-Amash? He replied, when Ramadan would arrive, Abu Hayyan al-Tamimi and Hamza al-Zayyat would come. Each would have a mushaf with him, and they would hold it before Amash. Then he would read it, and they would listen to his reading. In this manner, we acquired the recitals of this reading. So once again, we have a case in which there is a listing of listing mention of Hamza regarding the recital of Al-Amash. Now, you can see that the chain of narration of this narrative is being displayed before you. It has two subsections. No tawseek is available on Yusuf ibn Musa ibn Asad al-Kattan. So he is the person who is impugned here. You can see that his name is being indicated by a red arrow. So therefore, we have to consign him to the category of Majhul. Now, it may be noted that Ibn al-Jazari, in his Ghayatul Nihaya, does mention him as an entry, so he does give his biographical account. But Zahabi, in his Marifat al-Qurra' al-Kibar, does not mention him, does not even mention him as an independent category. So this, again, is the question, that who is this person? So although Ibn al-Jazari has mentioned him, then again, his mention is devoid of any tawseek, and as a result, we have to consign this person also to the category of the Majhuleen. The seventh person, viewers, in this regard is Abdullah. He is actually the person who reports is Abdullah ibn Numair, and this narrative is recorded by Ad-Dani in his Jami al-Bayan, fil Qiraat al-Sab'a al-Mashhura. It says, Qala haddasana ibn Numair, Qala hazartu Hamza, wa huwa. It says the Hazrat Hamza wa huwa yas'al al-Armash an huruf al-Quran yaqra'u fa yaqra'u lahu yaqra'u fa yaqra'u lahu al-Armash al-harf allazi ba'da ma qara'. So Abdullah ibn Numair said, I came to Hamza while he was asking al-Armash about certain recitals of the Quran. Hamza would read and al-Armash would read after him. So it was as if that Hamza would read and Armash would actually read after him. So therefore, viewers, this is another case. In this regard, you can see the chain of narration being displayed before you. The problem here is that no tawseek is available on Yahya ibn Sulaiman. And you can see that his name is being indicated by an arrow. And therefore, since there's no positive information about him, that he is a reliable person, we cannot depend upon him. Now, Ibn al-Jazari does mention him as an independent entry, but in the case of Az-Zahabi in his Marifat al-Qurra al-Kibar, he is not even mentioned as an independent entry. And therefore, this information further adds to our, or further complicates the situation that we do not find any tawseek on Yahya ibn Sulaiman. Now, viewers, if we take this in totality, we can see that the first and second, I'm discussing these seven narratives, which actually depict Al-Armash, or the relationship between Hamza and Al-Armash, whether Al-Armash is a teacher of Hamza or not. These seven narratives do not seem to depict so, at least in the manner that Hamza read out the Quran to Al-Armash. So as far as the first two narratives are concerned, they have a correct isnad. And given the fact that narratives which mention Al-Armash's name positively as a teacher of Hamza are all suspect. So the previous narrative that we have discussed, in which Hamza is positively mentioned as in which Armash is positively mentioned as a teacher of Hamza, they're all suspect. And we have some narratives which actually isnad, they are okay. The first two isnad of this series is actually fine. So therefore, there is no room to entertain the verdict of Dani that comments which negate the fact that Hamza read out the Quran to Armash should not be accepted, since a greater majority say that he read out to Al-Armash. So I would say I would not accept or not go along with Dani, because according to Ad-Dani, a majority of people say that he actually read out to Al-Armash. But this is, as I said, we have shown the analysis is the reverse. The majority, the correct opinion in this regard, I would say, is that narratives which actually say that he did not read out to Al-Armash, and that Hamza is not Armash's student, these narratives, at least the first two of this series, are isnad is okay. And even narratives that show that Hamza heard the recital of Al-Armash are also weak. So Armash cannot be established as a teacher from these chains of narration. So therefore, we will not entertain it. And viewers, I would also in this regard like to mention the fact that if we look at the narrative, a narrative which is recorded by our worthy authority, Ad-Dani, and Jami al-Bayan, he's actually presented the isnad of Al-Armash to the Prophet himself. So this is just for an academic discussion. As far as my early discussion is concerned, I'm pretty convinced from this discussion that Al-Armash cannot be regarded as a teacher of Hamza. But for the purpose of academics, I will now present the isnad presented by Ad-Dani from Al-Armash to the Prophet and see whether, if Armash is regarded to be a teacher, then is can he be relied upon? Because, of course, we need his chain of narration going right up to a companion or to the Prophet himself. حدثنا فارس بن أحمد قال حدثنا محمد بن الحسن قال حدثنا ابن عبد الرزاق قال حدثني أبي قال حدثنا أحمد بن جبير قال حدثنا الكسائي قال حدثنا محمد الأنصاري قال قلت للأعمش ألا من قرأت يا أبا محمد قال وما يهمك يا بني قلت لولا أنه يهمني لم أسألك قال قرأت على يحيى بن بصاب وقرأ يحيى على علقمة وقرأ علقمة على عبد الله وقرأ عبد الله على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ابن جبير قال الكسائي قال أبو بكر قرأ يحيى على عبيد بن نزيلة وكان من خيار أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله قال ابن جبير وحدثنا الكسائي قال زائدة قلت للأعمش على من قرأ يحيى قال على القمة والأسود ومسروق. So Muhammad ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Abi Layla al-Ansari said, I asked Al-Amish, O Abu Muhammad, whom did you read out the Quran to? He replied, O my son, what put you in doubt? He said, had I not been in doubt, I would not have asked you. He said, I read out the Quran to Yahya ibn Wasab, and Yahya read out to Al-Qama, and Al-Qama read out to Abdullah, and Abdullah read out to Muhammad. And Abdullah, of course, here means Abdullah ibn Masood. So he read out to Muhammad. Ibn Jubair said, Al-Kasai said, Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash said, Yahya read out to Ubayd ibn Nuzaila, who was among the companions of Abdullah ibn Masood, who was among the best of the companions of the Prophet. So Ibn Jubair said, Al-Kasai said to us, Zayda ibn Qudama said, I asked Al-Amish, to whom did Yahya read out the Quran? He said, to Al-Qama and Al-Aswad and Masruq. So you can see, viewers, the chain of narration of this narrative being displayed before you. This narrative is actually presenting the isnad of the reading of Al-Amish right up to the Prophet himself. Now, viewers, no tawseek is available on Abdul Razak ibn al-Hasan ibn Abdul Razak. And you can see that his name is being indicated by a red arrow. So therefore, he cannot be depended upon. Now, it may be noted that Ibn al-Jazari and al-Zahabi mention him as an entry. So both of these authorities, they have entries on Abdul Razak ibn al-Hasan, but they do not provide any sort of tawseek on him. So, Amish, the next problem, viewers, in this regard is that Amish has given some information that he is not contemporaneous to. This seems very likely. And this is that Al-Qama ibn Qais, who died in 62 Hijrah, and we know that Amish was born in 61 Hijrah. He died in 148 Hijrah. So, he is telling us that Al-Qama ibn Qais actually read out to the Quran to Abdullah ibn Masud, who obviously we know he died in 33 Hijrah. So, he himself... Al-Amish, who was born in 61 Hijrah, he is telling us that Al-Qama, who had died in 62 Hijrah, so Al-Amish was just 1 year old at the birth of Al-Qama, he could not have been contemporaneous to this information. So viewers, as I said, that even if someone stretches this and says that Al-Amish is one of the teachers of Hamza, although I would not agree to that, but still, if someone insists, then we can clearly see that we do not find any sort of corroboration as to the fact or reliably to the fact that Al-Amish had a reliable start all the way up to the Prophet. So, viewers, it is evident to me that all these eight teachers of Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyad, the way I have just analyzed in this episode and in the previous episode, none of them can be verified through the isnad-based content. So, these eight are actually Mughira ibn Maksum, Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamir, Jafar ibn Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn, Sulaiman ibn Mahran al-Amish, Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla, Humran ibn Ayyan and Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, and Lays ibn Abi Sulaim. So none of these eight teachers can be established to be the teachers of Hamza as far as I'm concerned. So if we depict the chart regarding these eight teachers, the way they have been mentioned in our primary books, you can see that that is being displayed before you, and his eight teachers are being displayed before you. And now the problem, viewers, is that as I said, that none of these teachers to me has been established. You can even clearly see that in the case of Ja'far ibn Muhammad, Abu Ishaq al-Sabri,
Mughira ibn Miksum,
and Lays ibn Abi Sulaym, we do not know who the teachers of these people are, how their isnad reaches back entirely to the Prophet. However, in the case of Mansur al-Mu'tamar ibn Abi Layla al-Amash and Humran ibn Ayun, we do have chains going on, going back right to a companion. But in the case of these four teachers of Hamza, even if we are regarded to be teachers of Hamza, we do not know who are the teachers of these teachers. But in my own take, as I said, is that none of these eight teachers are established or verified to this content. And as you can see from this illustration, that in therefore, if this contention of mine is correct, then Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyad does not have any reliable teacher reported through isnad-based content, and hence his reading cannot be regarded or assigned into the category of reliability. So, inshallah, in the next sessions, we'll take up the remaining readers of these seven canonical readings and see how their isnads stand to the test of historical criticism. Till then, أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.